greetings. This is Nigeria of UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Sandra Richards on the line with me. She's an author of the children's book, Rice and Rocks. Sandra, please talk to the audience and tell them a little something about yourself and the book you just published.
Well, greetings, everyone. The book that I've published is called, as you said, Rice and Rocks, geared towards the ages 5 to 9. Really great feedback, and most of the feedback that I love is from the kids that we're getting. And it's a story that talks about, you know, family tradition, diversity, culture, and heritage.
And does it have any relation to you?
Yes. Actually, the book was written with the original intention of memorializing my nephew Giovanni, who the character, the young boy in the book, is named after. My nephew passed away in 2007 from meningitis, and he was 8 years old. And so I was, you know, a way to keep his memory alive. And one of the things that always would come to me, especially when I talked to other family members or my friends, I would always recall the fun stories and my fun encounters with Giovanni. And one of the many encounters was rice and rocks. My family's from Jamaica, and my mom was making rice and peas every Sunday. And this one particular Sunday, I actually noticed him taking beans out of the rice. And I said, Giovanni, what are you doing? He was like, I don't like rice and rock. And so there goes the title for the story, Rice and Rock.
Right. Talk about in the book, he has friends coming over as well. And that kind of, oh no, they'll make the traditional rice and beans, you know. How could we explain best that it's important for us to enhance our culture and share it with other people?
Yeah, and I think in the story, you know, what Giovanni is saying, as you're relating to, is he's embarrassed that his friends are going to come over. He doesn't think, you know, they would appreciate his grandma's traditional dish of rice and beans or rice and rock in his mind.
Right.
And not knowing that other cultures share the same thing. And so that was part of one of the things in sharing with kids at a young age, is that, you know, while things are different, and you may, your construct of your family may look different, skin tone, background, there are similarities. And one of the things that definitely, especially as I did my research, is rice, everybody eats some sort of food. Mm-hmm. And then looking deeper down into, you know, rice and rocks. And so that was, for me, one of the ways that it actually was truly a conversation I had with my nephew. So when he talked about rice and rocks, I said, you know, your little friend Emily next door, she eats rice and rocks. And in his mind, he said, no, she don't. Only Jamaicans do. And I said, so I called Emily over, and he was shocked that she ate rice and rocks. And so that was more so like the hidden way of letting him come to understanding the importance on his own, because it was very important to me not to have auntie, who plays the figure who I play auntie,
right.
Don't play the figure of someone scolding and teaching, but helping kids along the journey. And you're just giving them the path. And this journey happens to be on the back of a big bird named Jasper, who's hilarious, by the way. And, you know, take him on an adventure and let him learn this on his own and let him ask the question. It was very important that the dialogue was him learning from the others when we went to visit Japan, New Orleans, and Puerto Rico, that he was asking questions and not auntie, like, could you please tell my nephew,
right,
you know, that you eat rice and rocks and why? It was his question.
Yeah, and that's excellent, because part of everything is just the exposure that children,
yep,
need to know and share. And, you know, personally, when I was growing up in grade school, I remember I had to stay at a friend's house, and she was, you know, of Latin descent. And they were eating rice, what is it, arroz con pollo. And her mother spoke no English, you know. And I remember sitting in the house like, oh, my goodness. And she's like, my mother is asking, do you want to eat? And I'm like, hungry, you know. And, you know, African-Americans, they be like, don't be eating at other people's house. But, you know,
exactly.
I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. And it was so tasty, and it was so good, and wasn't fried chicken. And I was excited. I was like, wow. And all I kept saying was, I had arroz con pollo. You know, like, that was something big. And mm-hmm. It's just, it was a great experience. And I'm excited about the book. When I was reading through it, I was like, excellent. And we have so many blended families now that,
exactly,
it's so important to just share, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What's your feedback on?
I mean, again, as I take it, again, from a personal standpoint, like, you know, with Jamaica, the motto is out of one come many. So, I mean, that's something that we grew up with. Take on what you said about, you know, blended families. You know, my family, again, as I said earlier, comes from Jamaica, and, you know, the motto is, you know, out of one come many. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that is what we were brought up with, and now, you know, my nephew has a daughter. One of my oldest nephews has a daughter, and he, of course, is Jamaican, and his mother's from Thailand. And his fiance, her mother is Mexican, and her father happens to be African-American. So my niece is just a perfect blend of them with all cultures wrapped up in her.
Right.
So, you know, so that's who we are.
Right.
And I just wanted to honor and celebrate that, too.
And I'm glad it's a children's book with such positive influence on one, identity and sharing and culture, because it's important for all children to identify their culture and appreciate it.
Right.
So what are the plans you have for Rice and Rocks?
So I'm hoping that I can have the time to spend some of the ideas that I have bubbling through different adventures for Giovanni. It's like I said earlier, I've been doing a lot of reading to kids, and I just went to a school. We read to 500 kids in Poughkeepsie, New York. And the feedback from them about what they want to see, like, they want to see more adventures. I just love when the kids tell me that it should be a movie. I'm like, well, from the mouth of babes, I'm like, I wish I could make it a movie.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
It's just so
That's
great
excellent. When it's so funny. How, when I was reading it, I said the same thing. I was like, this needs to be a movie. I really did.
And so it's just a great feedback, I think, just from the kids and how they're responding to it. And again, even as the adults, I've had several adults tell me that at signings that I've gone to, and if I'm doing a special signature and I say, who do you want me to write it to? And they're like, no, write it to me. And I'm like, oh, you're not giving it to us. And they were like, no, I'm keeping it on my shelf. And I was like, well, that's great.
Yeah,
so it's fun to see, like, you know, the adults and the kids alike are enjoying the book.
Yes, and it's very colorful. The graphics are excellent. The writing is excellent. And it keeps your attention. And I'm one of the adults. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much.
And I'm glad that you're out there, you know, reading it and sharing it with the schools and children alike. How can people get the book?
Well, the book is available on Amazon.com. It's also on Books A Million. You can go to Human Bookstore. And even if you want to go to your local independent bookstore, I'm very big on, you know, supporting businesses that are within the community. So even if they don't carry it, they can contact their distributor, because it's in a national distribution chain, and get copies of the book.
Great. I mean, you definitely did your research and homework in regards to this, and I wish you much success, continued success, and I'm going to pray that become a movie or some kind of Saturday cartoon situation, because it's needed. It really is needed, and I believe we're going in that direction. I believe there's a healing in the nation for us to just identify just who we are, despite all the media attention in regards to racism.
Absolutely, and the things that the kids are seeing on TV today, and they're, you know, as much as parents and guardians try to control and have all these parental controls all over the place, you know, you send your child to school, there's only but so much control you have, because you're leaving them in the hands of a teacher. You know, you send them, you know, they go to the park. There's so many other influences where they can get this stuff. So hopefully Rice and Rocks and other books like this could serve as a tool to help them, you know, guide their kids along the way.
Absolutely. And kids are, these kids today, they're like super smart. I don't know if it's the water, the milk. And, you know, they are in a digital age where, you know, Google and all that, YouTube, and they have the access. And actually, they're looking to know more truth. They're looking to find something more positive.
Right.
And so it's necessary for yourself and other authors to have positive reinforcements. That's what I will call it. To be available for the children. Because they're bright. They're pretty bright.
And I mean, let me tell you, they are bright to a point that before the book even came out and before there was even any illustrations to go with it, I actually had a focus group of kids that I would go to, like, friends, colleagues that, you know, I'm like, do you have a son, daughter? I want them to read this and, like, give me the feedback. And I even had my own nieces and nephews read it as well. And one, I wanted to make sure that the words alone, even if there weren't any illustrations, that you were able to get the story. Mm. And they were. And even my niece, I will give her credit, hopefully when she hears this interview, when I share it with her, mm-hmm. that in the book when Giovanni is picking the beans out of the rice, and she said, "Ooh, Auntie Sandra, I think there's a good thing to add here." And I said, "What?" She was like, "How about when Giovanni picks the beans out of the rice, he secretly is giving it to Sky and Honey under the table, and that's why they have gas." Ah! And she busts out laughing. And I said, "You know what? That's actually really good."
Yeah.
And I added this little story.
Yeah.
And that was her addition. So
yeah.
It was important even for, you know, others who were writing books for kids or any other genre that they're going after. I found it very important and helpful to me to talk to the people that are going to, I know, will be the readers of the book.
Yeah.
And that happened to be kids. Mm-hmm. And they were so honest and they were so fun about it.
Key word, kids are very honest. You're absolutely right with that. And the feedback when you go to the schools is the same?
It's been amazing to, you know, I've been asked to come back again. Perhaps we can do, you know, a curriculum around your book. Even more things than I even could have thought of that the book is showcasing to others. That, I mean, I saw some things, but to see it out of the eyes of others is amazing, of the things that they come up with or how they can utilize the book in their classrooms and in other community programs. The feedback has been amazing.
And your background, I know it was dedicated to your late nephew, but what is your background in regards to writing or coming up with a book? That was it totally in regards to your nephew, or do you have background with writing and English?
No, I think I took one English class in college, and that must have been a prerequisite or something. I just happen to love to write. Anything that I come up with, you will find me writing. But I also love to read.
Mm-hmm.
I would read kids' books. I would read adult. I would even just sit there and read a cereal box.
Okay.
I mean, if anything that I just wanted, and that was something like my dad instilled in us in, like, the importance of reading. Mm-hmm. But I will also say the book, while it does memorialize my nephew, has taken on a new meaning because my mom recently passed in August.
Mm.
And my mom is in the book as grandma. So, of course,
right.
It's her tradition.
Right.
And her and my dad had passed along to me and my nieces and nephews. And so her funeral actually was on August 20th, and the book came out August 23rd.
Wow.
And it was a little joy to me to see how well it was being responded to, because when I shared with my mom that the book was coming out and, like, you know, here's the final sketches and layout, and I said, "You know, you're grandma, right?" And she was like, "Really?" I said, "Who else is going to be grandma?"
Right.
And
right.
So she was like, "Oh," she was like, "That made my heart so full."
Aww.
And so for her to see it and for us to have a conversation, she was with me along this journey.
Amen.
It has made it even more special for me. So again, while it's a very personal story, I think a lot of the elements and the themes are universal to
right.
other families.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, so I've written a lot of things, but this was one of the things. And I say this even in my email tagline that crystallized to me that I should write this book, is I read a quote by Maya Angelou, and it says, "There's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you."
Wow.
And that was a story that kept sitting with me. And so I had to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so glad that I did. And I'm really happy for the response and the support of people like you wanting to talk to me about the book. It's just been really amazing. So thank you.
You're more than welcome. It's an excellent book. We love when we are introduced to key players. We are always here where key players speak. We are always excited when we find great talent. And that is what the Lord has given me, this platform to share that talent. What advice do you have to someone who has a book sitting inside of them?
I would say, you could say the whole cliche thing that everybody says, research and do your homework and know about the genre. But, you know, you will know when it's right for it to come forth, because what you don't want to do is put something that is unfinished out into the place knowing that you could have finished it more. And even there'll be times you'll get critiques from, you know, as for me, from kids, from adults, from professional groups, and you need to stay true to you and not conform your story because someone told you it would sell better if you change this and add this character. And he's like, no, that really is not going to bring anything to the story I want to tell.
Mm.
So sometimes you have to stand firm, even though, for me, I mean, I had no professional background in, you know, publishing and
right.
the key program, but I knew what I was, what my personal conviction was about how the story should be told.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some things that I, yes, absolutely, I put on the cutting room floor. I'm like, okay, I could take this, I could take that out. But other things, I was like, no, this is important and it needs to stay.
Right.
And so that, I will say, is like, you know, first, like, make sure you have the, you know what's going to be finished to you and how your story should be told.
Mm-hmm.
And not chasing the money and not chasing the glory, of course, you know, and all of, you know, the PR and the press and all the stuff you can get out of it. But it's hard to then have a conversation with someone like you and stand true and saying, this is why I wrote the book, and here's how this turned out, and here's, you know, where it started, and because you need to start from a place of truth.
Right.
And that book was a place of truth for me.
And it's evident. It's really evident when you're reading it. I could feel the passion and the honesty from it. Sandra Richards, thank you so much for being on UrbanBuzzMag.com. And please, guys, go out and support her children's book, Rice and Rocks. You can get it on Amazon, Google it. Do you have a website or your social media where people can reach out to you?
Yes, my website is www.sandralrichards.com.
Mm-hmm.
And my social media for Twitter, Instagram is @SandraLRichards.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much again for stopping by, and we appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.